And this morning, as we've been worshiping and just focusing our attention on him, and some of the songs have been very challenging that we've sung, and maybe you don't even understand them. Because some of the language we use as believers is different than the language we use in our community, our everyday language. And getting to grips with some of that, it can be quite difficult. But I want to just say to you this morning that you don't need to understand it. You don't need to understand everything. But it works. It works. So what part of our heart here is that when we meet together like this, when we come together as church, that we have an encounter with God and we say, well, what does that mean, have an encounter with God? It just means that God does something in your heart that is real and you recognize it as that. You recognize that God is in our gathering, that he's ministering to us, that he's wanting to be involved. And so when we pray for one another, when we ask, have you got anything that you need prayer with? And I'm the same as you. You kind of think, oh, I'm sorted, really. I don't need God to do anything. But really, we should all be out here going, I need something, God. And for it to work, we've got to include God in it. If we don't include God, it can't work. And we include God by faith. We add faith to our inclusion and allow him to be God in our lives and just minister to us, just to make a difference. And sometimes we recognize that, and sometimes we don't, that God is working. There's a song we sing, isn't there, that even when you're not working, or I can't see you working, you're working. Even though I don't recognize that you're working, I know in my heart that you're doing something, that you are working. And the biggest barrier to that is actually pride. And pride just is saying to God, I don't need you in this. I'll do it myself. I'm quite capable of managing this. But God wants us to include him in everything we do. So we've heard Sue's story this morning of how she just includes God in everything she does at work and how that impacts the lives of those around her. That's living it. That's demonstrating God in our lives. It's every day having an encounter with him. And so I want to encourage you this morning, whether you get it or not, it works. You don't need to understand everything about it for it to work. We just need to put our faith in him and let him be included in everything that we do. Okay, that's just some thoughts I had this morning. You can take those away or you can think about those through the week. But I want to start off by saying that I met with Debs, who presented that video this morning from Silver Cord, and she said something quite exciting, actually. She said, your people at this church are brilliant. She said, they're brilliant. That's you. She didn't say I was brilliant. She said, you are. Because of the response that you give, because of the heart that you have, because of the faithfulness of those that are involved in Silver Cord. And that encouraged me, because if you are good, that means I'm good. I don't mean I'm good as in good, but it does me good to know that people recognise that you are good. And it's true, you are a good people. I met with a minister in the week who's struggling. We do struggle, you know. We do struggle sometimes. And he's struggling because his heart is to make disciples. And he says, I'm not doing that because the people who I'm trying to make disciples don't want to be disciples. And that's a bit hard then. If you've got a congregation of people who don't want to get involved, who don't understand what being a disciple is and don't want to go out there and live it, it's very difficult for a minister. And he was really downcast about that. But it's not like that here. You'll have to excuse me. I might not make it through to the end of this. Big cheer. My voice over the last few months, if I use it too much, and I've had to stop singing this morning because I thought it's going to go. I'll just keep drinking as I'm going through. But I want to talk about church. I want to talk about how you connect to the church and how important you are in making disciples and what your role is. It's not my job to do it all. Thank God. He is involved. We include him in everything we do. And a few years ago I had that moment of revelation, you know, when God speaks to your heart and you go, oh, that's cleared it up a little bit, I understand it now. And I got this revelation that it wasn't my job to do everything, it was his job. And that weight of responsibility sometimes we get was lifted from me because I knew that we could trust God in everything we do, and that involves everything at church. And so we do include God in all that we're doing here, and it's he that actually brings the increase, and we'll talk a little bit about that as we go along. But as I've prepared this morning, thank you. I've got hot and cold now. Oh, you've put something in it, have you? And it's a scripture, and sometimes you'll do this, I do this quite regularly, be reading along, and suddenly something will jump out at you, and you go, oh, what does that mean? And so let me just talk about this scripture in a moment. Well, what sort of person are you? Are you clean and tidy? Or are you messy? I don't want you to put your hands up if you're clean and tidy or messy. But we're all different, aren't we? I used to think I was quite clean and tidy till Linda got involved in my life. And then she told me I was messy, which is probably true to a large extent. But whenever I do a job at home, I don't know whether you do work at home, you do little jobs around the place, there's always a mess seems to follow me everywhere I go. And tools all over the house, mess all over the house. And at the end of the job, because Linda's not in here, I could say what I want, can't I? At the end of the job, she's more focused on the mess I've left rather than the job that I've done. Have you all experienced that? Yeah, we know what it means. And we can be like that. A few years ago, I was Sonny, and some of you will know Ian, he's a chef, and he made Christmas lunch for us. So we came to church in the morning, leaving a really tidy kitchen and house, went back, it looked like a bomb had gone off. I've never experienced anything like it. But it was one of the best Christmas lunches we'd ever had. And we always look back to that Christmas lunch with great fondness, but he's never doing it again in my kitchen. He did Brussels sprouts three different ways. It was an amazing experience. But sometimes we get distracted by the mess and we don't focus on actually what it's producing. And for many years now, we've talked about church as being messy or building site church because there's always something going on. And you know, when there's a mess, very often it means that something is being created. And I'll talk a little bit more about this in a minute. But if you want to attend a church where everything is sorted out, everything is neat and tidy, you'll probably be in heaven. Because really, a church that is operating as the church is messy. Because people come to us at different points in their life with different issues, creating all kinds of different tensions, different atmospheres, and it sometimes feels a little bit, it's a bit messy here, isn't it? But I believe that's how church should be. There's a saying, isn't it, you have to break an egg to make an omelette, and you have to make a mess sometimes to produce something. So this is the scripture that I want to talk about for a few minutes this morning. It's Proverbs 14. And it says this, where no oxen are, the trough is clean, but much increase comes by the strength of an ox. So if a farmer wants to produce a crop, he needs oxen to work the land and the fields. If his farm sheds, if where they keep the cattle is neat and tidy and clean, it means he hasn't got any cattle, he hasn't got any oxen, and he's not going to produce any fruit. He's not going to create a harvest. And I don't know whether you've ever visited a farm, but they're not neat and tidy. They really are not. They smell a bit, and they're a bit messy. When I was a young lad, I used to work on a farm when I was 10, and I wanted to be a farmer. And it was my job to go in and muck out the chickens, which really do smell. I don't know if you've ever smelled chickens, but they smell. Catch all the chickens that had escaped, just tidy the place up, and it was in a constant state of always being in a mess. You can never bottom it out. And if you're a farmer, that's what life is like. It is always messy, unless you leave it, and then it's neat and tidy because nothing is happening. We always say here, don't we, that you can come as you are, and we believe that. Doesn't matter who you are, what you've done, whether you're broken, whether you're troubled, lost, rejected. Doesn't matter who comes here, because we believe that God works in every situation and in every life. And they're just joining in a church that knows who God is, and they're here to find out something about faith in Christ. And that's always a risky place to be. For many people in our community, they're very reluctant to go to church because they feel that they will be rejected because they're not good enough or they're not religious enough. But church is somewhere you have to be sorted out before you can go. That's what they think. You have to be kind of sorted before you can go to church. And it's all really the opposite, isn't it? And we know that our lives can become a little bit untidy at times, a little bit messy, a little bit frayed around the edges as we face the reality of life and try to work out what's going on. But we're all still welcome here, no matter what state our own lives are in. It's a safe place to be. It's a place of faith. It's a place where we include God in everything that we do. Have you noticed how Jesus always seemed to end up with messy people? If you read his stories, he always ended up where people were needed physically, emotionally, or spiritually. Jesus was always looking out for those people. And for those that thought they were all right, the religious leaders, well, they kind of got up his nose a little bit, didn't they? He used to have some really tough discussions with them. So we know that Jesus' heart was for the lost, for those whose lives were in a mess. And at church, we've got to be ready to accept anybody who comes in, the whosoever. Jesus gave an instruction to his disciples before he ascended into heaven. And you'll all know it, go into all the world and make disciples, teaching them everything I taught you. So if you want to know what your job is as a Christian, as a follower of Christ, it's to go and make disciples. No matter whether you feel equipped to do that or not, our job, our role is to go and make disciples, not just my job. It's shared responsibility here. We've got to go into all the world and make disciples. Now that sounds like hard work to me. And it is. It can be hard work at times. Because we've got to go into the world where it's a bit messy, where lives are broken, where lives are needy, but the world needs to hear the good news of the gospel. We sang a song this morning, didn't we, that the church is the hope of the world. And we're not being big-headed when we sing that. We're not being overstepping the mark. But when you begin to understand who God is, when you begin to allow him to work in your life, it's only he that can bring the transformation that the world needs. Peace, forgiveness, joy, fullness of life. That can't be worked out sometimes in people's lives, but only God can bring that to us. Sometimes we think that those around us, maybe our family, maybe our neighbours, those people we work with, seem all sorted. I look around at the team that I work with, and I think, you know what, they're all sorted. How can God break into their lives and bring anything more? But I just had this revelation one day, that it don't matter how sorted somebody seems, when God's in their life, they are more sorted. When God's in their life, it gives him an opportunity to just deal with all the stuff in them that maybe they're hiding and set them free from it. No matter who they are, no matter who you rub shoulders with, God will always bring something to their lives. Salvation is that thing that takes us from this world into the kingdom of heaven. And we can try and explain that, but it's a spiritual experience that just reveals the heart and the love of God. And we need to be just displaying that every day of our lives. I don't know whether you've ever prepared some ground and planted seed. I did once, and it was hard work, and I didn't do it again. I grew potatoes that didn't grow, and I thought, I'm not doing that again. I dug all this land up, planted me spuds, and they didn't grow. The worms had them. They had a great time, the worms. But it's hard work preparing ground. It's hard work doing all that you need to do to prepare the ground for harvest. But even when you've planted the ground, there's still work to do. You've got to water, weed, and debug. Because when the bugs get in, you've had it. You've got to keep your eye on this crop all the time. We have to hang in, be patient. If we want to see the harvest, then we have to harvest the crop as well. We've got to go and harvest it because it doesn't do that itself. You've got to go and gather the harvest. And Jesus was very aware of this, and in his discussions with the disciples, he said this, Luke 10, verse 2. The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest field. So Jesus was very aware that there was a big harvest, that people needed to know who God was. They needed to know what he brought to their lives. They needed forgiveness. They needed his power in their lives to live. But the workers are few. There's not enough people doing it. Pray that God sends out workers into the harvest field. And as church, we love coming together and being together and experiencing God's blessing. It's a great thing. But that's just our purpose. That's the result of our relationship with God. Our purpose is to go out and create disciples. We've been given this amazing grace gift called salvation. And our calling in God is to give it away to others. John 4:33. Don't you have a saying, it's still 4 months until the harvest? I tell you, open your eyes and look out at the fields. They are ripe for harvest. The harvest is now. That's what Jesus was saying to his disciples. We have a saying that it's 4 months, it's coming, it will come. Well, Jesus is saying it is now. And as church, as we just reassess our purpose in this community, the harvest is now. We can plan things for 6 months or 12 months or 2 years, but we've always got to have that heart in us, that understanding that the harvest is now, that people need Jesus now, not just later in life. As we've heard this morning, people are watching and listening everything that you do and everything that you say. And God will let you know when the time is right to have that discussion about faith. And it's amazing how that happens sometimes. But as you live amongst whoever, your family, work colleagues, people at school and college, there will come a moment when they go, why do you do this? Or I've been watching you and you behave like this. Why is it that you are different? And that is the moment that the Holy Spirit can break in and just bring some revelation of truth into their hearts. So going back to the proverb I read at the start, we can see that bringing a harvest is hard work. It can be messy work. But we've got to be persistent and be prepared to get dirty. And if we want to see an increase in the kingdom, not just in this church, but in kingdom, because we don't just think about this church, we're thinking about the kingdom of heaven. The ground's got to be prepared. The seed has got to be planted. And then the harvest has got to be gathered. And we are called to do all this as church. You know, the message we carry is the most powerful message in the world because it can change somebody's life. When there is hopelessness, it can transform somebody's life. When there is those in addiction, it can transform their lives. When it's people living in difficult situations, it can transform their lives. When people have got stuff that's gone on in the past in their hearts and they can't let go of it, God can just remove it from their hearts. Don't know how it works, but it does. We've just got to keep on going in our faithful journey of planting the seed. Just want to read three scriptures. Galatians 6:9. Let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. We don't give up. We've got to keep going. And sometimes we are tired and we want to give up, but we're encouraged not to give up. Because if we want to see the harvest, we don't give up. We always have our faith and our trust in God. 2 Thessalonians 3. And as for you, brothers and sisters, never tire of doing what is good. And 1 Corinthians 15. Therefore, my dear brothers and sisters, stand firm. Let nothing move you. Always give yourselves fully to the work of the Lord, because you know that your labor in the Lord is not in vain. As a church, we've been here for 72 years now. We were planted in 1950. And we've never given up. We've always stood firm. We believe that our labour is not in vain, no matter what we see. We're going to stand firm, and we're going to believe that the harvest that is ready, we're going to reap. At times we can feel like giving up. We can feel like we're running out of energy. We can sometimes feel like we're running out of faith. But we need an encounter with the Holy Spirit to strengthen us and help us in our weariness. And I don't know where you are on your journey. I don't know what's going on in here in your heart. But sometimes we can kind of lose it a little bit as believers. We can let things slip. We can be more concerned about ourselves than others. And I just want to pray for you right now, all of us, that the Holy Spirit will fill us anew and that we'll catch something of God's heart for the world. You know, the message that lives in us, many of us have had that message living in us for a long time, and sometimes we just get used to it. We can become a little bit blasé about our faith, but it's something that we've got that can transform the lives of those who live around us. It can transform the world. You know, we can look at the world and it is desperate at the moment. Politicians don't know what to do. They've got no idea. World leaders have got no idea. Only God, who transforms our hearts, has got any idea how to bring peace to the world. And we can share that peace, particularly at this time of year, as people are focusing a little bit on the birth of Christ. It gives us an opportunity to talk about the love, joy, and peace that Jesus brings to our lives. Let's just pray together.